the little. So when AT&T first gave you phones, they owned them and they designed them to last for 30 years. I mean, they were tanks. You could run them over the bus. Because if their phones broke, they had to send someone to replace them. So technically, AT&T owned the devices that you stuck into your wall, and you were leasing them. Kind of like you do with modems or routers today. Sometimes you don't actually buy the router. So the question is, if you're tasked with designing a computer system, which parts of that system need to be new? What's the challenge with buying new stuff? How much more does the brand new stuff cost than the two-year-old stuff cost? It's usually like double. You know, it's remarkably expensive. So what I cooked up for us is a project that I think will span 2 days. If you take a peek, we'll take it in. This is what it looks like on your half sheet. So I called it the Is the Newer Better Project. And another way you might call it is the Change and Remain Project. And so we're going to watch two clips. One from 1983, Matthew Broderick. Anyone seen War Games? Yes? Jake? Anyone else? Okay, so War Games is set in 1983, and you're going to get a chance to see 1983 era computer. And the setting is Seattle, Washington, and there's this guy who's this high school student who's into computer stuff, and he is tinkering around with telefax modems. And so we're going to see a clip of him and his friend from high school tinkering around with his computer and accidentally breaking into a back-end socket in a war game simulation in NORAD for nuclear arms for the United States military. So kind of gets in a little bit over his head. And so what I'd like you to do first is just describe what you see in terms of display, user interface, computational power, communication systems. And we're going to try to get some benchmarks. Benchmark years, so that at the end of the week, if we look over on the right-hand side of the of your sheet, what parts should we upgrade? Imagine, so you get to actually choose a condition. So your context: are you a pure science microbiology lab? Are you an e-commerce business? Are you a university like CCAC? Or if you have another interest that's not on that list? I want you to imagine that you're tasked with creating the computer system and answering the question, well, which parts should we have the newest and which ones can we keep in the older era? And I want you to actually give a year. So you could say something like, we're okay with RAM as of year 2012, but we think our CPU should be upgraded to the current 2018-19 era. So we'll be building out a spreadsheet to help us answer that question. It'll help us dig into the relative value of the newest components, because some of them have changed a lot, and some of them have not. This is a replacement to the human computer modeling that I did some reflecting on, and I felt that this would be more academically useful. So we're going to jump in 1983. Where the computer memory was regularly coming with 64K of RAM. So how many, so a common RAM on these systems, hit Control Shift Escape. Let's see how much RAM is on these computers, how much volatile memory. So not hard drive, but temporary storage of the processor. And then hit more details. How much RAM do you have on these? Control Shift Escape. And of course, Microsoft makes you click a second button to see even basic information. How much RAM is in these? Memory. If you go to performance, you'll be able to see a full this thing. Yeah, what do you got here? 8 gigs, 7.9. How much do you have, Gail? 7.9. So 8 gigabytes today, 8 gigs. And that's not a whole lot. So in 1983, 64K of RAM. How many K is in 8 gigs? So 1 megabyte is how many kilobytes? 1,000. How many megabytes in a gigabyte?
1,000.
1,000, yeah. So we've got, add another three zeros. So 1,000,000 K. So we have 8,000,000 K
in these boxes.
And in 1983, you're going to see computers
with 64K.
Okay. So the scales are just mind-boggling. To add six
zeros to our measurements in 30 years. Nuts.
Okay, then we're going to pop over to 1993 for my absolute favorite scene. Second. We're going to see the second favorite scene in Jurassic Park. And we're going to try to describe what computers you see. Anyone remember the door lock scene? That's where we're going. Okay, so here's War Games, Matthew Broderick. If you look at modern pictures of Matthew Broderick, it looks like he has not changed one bit. He, like, does not age. Anyways, here's Matthew Broderick. So first of all, just describe what you're seeing, and then we'll do the comparison on what's different about it. Actually, we're going to watch it through without me stopping and making commentary. Otherwise, you're going to rip it in the editing.
Our room's upstairs.
Your parents aren't home?
No, they both work.
This is similar to the Altair. So this is the actual CPU box. And the switches here are the actual bits. So you can actually set the ones and zeros of the initial memory registers by hand. On, off, by switch. This is the disk drive. So the storage was not built in. They were completely separate components. And this is display. So this is the era where everything is separate. And then you have to figure out how to hook it together. This machine cost $900 in 1983, assembled. You could buy it for $600, and they sent it to you in pieces, and you had to solder it together. It took weeks. It took weeks to build it if you wanted to save a few hundred dollars.
You're really into computers, huh?
Yeah.
1.4 megabytes on the floppy disk.
What are you doing?
Dialing into the school's computer. They change the password every couple of weeks, but I know where they write it down.
Change it back.
Okay.
better get going.
Thanks for the ride.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, that's school hacking. Now we're going to go to the United States military. This is where it gets a little bit trickier. Okay, now before we jump in here, what's going on with the phone? Why is there a phone involved here? This.
Dialing in.
What does that mean, dialing in? So there's a server here at the school. With a hard drive and a database on it. And here's the CPU of the server. And so that has to be hooked up. What do we call the device that networks the computer together? What's the component called? The modem. So why did, with those little tones? What's going on with those little tones? Pardon?
Signal.
The signal. So it's converting what to what? That modem box. So here's his IMSA 8080. That's the name of the company, and that's the computer model. So it has the CPU, and then it has this box, the modem box. So here's our system diagram. Why don't you flip your sheet over? Let's draw a little diagram. So here's the CPU. Here is the disk drive. So this is non-volatile, meaning it doesn't take power to keep a floppy disk from losing its data. So I want to think about this connection here. So what's coming into the modem, and then what's going out? There's the receiver. So what's the only thing that, at this era, in 1983, what are they actually sending over the telephone's copper? Sending little pulses of audio sound, effectively audio. So we're turning this modem here. A modem generically is converting ones and zeros that a computer knows how to speak into something that can be transmitted over a network. So this is 8-bit audio over the American switching network, the normal telephone switching network, and it's turning it into pulses of sound. So the job of the modem is to convert. Let me make this a little bit bigger. So this modem takes in ones and zeros and ships out. So these are speakers going from the modem into the microphone of the receiver. That's crazy. So it actually goes into actual sound. Later, when we started turning, like a 56K modem, it wasn't turning into sound and sending it over the phone line. You probably remember those. Did you remember those? Did you have to hang up? Did you have to not use the phone when you used the internet?
Yes.
So that wasn't sound. Your computer wasn't making sound and sending it into a microphone. It was making much denser pulses of voltage in binary form. This is analog, meaning it's literally there's no information other than sound, not sound, sound, not sound. It's not voltage, it's sound. So this was really ancient. But the principle again is exactly the same. Ones and zeros to some sort of encoding that makes sense for the transmission lines, in this case, which was copper, two lines of copper. So what's modern modems doing? The most current modem that you can buy is taking ones and zeros and turning it into what? What's fiber optic?
Light.
Light. So again, it's not that converting it into some other form is old, it's just that now we convert it into light instead of sound. So same idea. A modem is doing the same job, but its to and from are different. Okay, so he made it into the school's computer. Now she's going to come back and ask for her grade to be changed, and he's going to be up to his more sneaky activities.
put in jail for...
There's ways around that.
You could go to jail for that.
Only if you're over 18.
This is going to take a long time. I'd like to get my grade changed.
It's funny, actually, because I already changed it.
I told you not to do that.
Yeah, I know, but I figured you'd change your mind. I didn't want you to flunk.
Well, what did I get?
You got a D.
You gave me a D?
No, got an A. I was kidding.
Oh, that's okay.
Here, let's see what we have so far.
You really give me an A.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, hey, you got a Mick.
Gotta make a note of that one. Might come in handy someday. Damn. Where should we go?
Anywhere?
Anywhere.
New York?
New York.
No, Paris.
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 Will you be traveling alone?
Yeah. Yeah. You wanna go?
All right. Smoking or non-smoking?
Non-smoking.
All right, Miss Mack. You're confirmed on Pan Am's flight 114, leaving Chicago's O'Hare Airport at 8:15 a.m. on 18 August. Do we need a rental car?
No. We really have tickets to Paris?
No, you have a reservation, though. Doesn't identify itself. Huh? Try anything.
Connection terminated. How rude.
I'll ask you for help.
You mean that?
Yeah, on some systems. So the more complicated they are, the more they have to help you out.
Now what?
Help games.
Games refers to models, simulations, and games to have tactical strategic
them.
Applications. What does that mean?
I don't know, but that's gotta be them. Turn on the printer, will you? I wanna get a print out of this. List games. Oh my God.
finish up this sequence. What do we recognize? What are these? This is original mainframes in the 80s. Look at these huge boxes.
Like servers?
Nope, these are not. Well, these are part of. See, this is back when the parts of the computers were so large that the different components were often in separate rooms. So, what job were these boxes fulfilling with the big spinning disks?
They're recording.
They're recording what? These are the equivalent of today's which? Yeah, these are the equivalent of today's hard drives. These are tape reels. So in terms of storage, we want to start just familiarizing ourselves with how certain components have evolved. So figure out how you want to do notes on these. So our two types of storage would be volatile. What does the word volatile mean?
If someone's volatile, what are they like?
Toxic.
They're what?
Toxic.
Yes, potentially. And they're toxic because change all the time. So volatile storage means it changes fast. So this would be changes fast, meaning you can turn a 1 to a 0 quickly. But the downside is when you turn your computer off, what happens to what's in your RAM? Does it stick around? Pardon? Yeah, it's gone. So it's volatile because it needs power to maintain its memory. So again, that trade-off, it stores and can read and write quickly, but it requires power.
Non-volatile would be the storage that we want to... So this is long-term, this is short-term. Long-term... storage, and this is no power required. So how do you store data on a tape? What's the physics principle? CD uses light. What's on that plastic tape? It's not light. Is it sound? Same technology as a VHS player and a cassette recorder. No, I don't have any. Magnets. It's magnetic. This was the era when you wanted to be careful where you set your computer. Don't put magnets too close. Now they have magnetic shielding on everything, so I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, it was magnetic tape. So, magnetic tape. Does anyone still use that today?
Some do. For very long-term storage, it's extremely cheap. You can make magnetic tape for almost nothing. So if you remember, a solid-state drive, SSDs, studies have tracked that you can start losing bits without power to a solid-state drive within weeks. Not the place for long-term storage. So if you're trying to archive stuff, if you're the government, if you're a library, if you're an institution, you want stuff that is stable without power for a very long time. Magnetic tape does not degrade unless you mess it up with a magnet. They're going in. They have huge banks of all of this. And then you need a whole computer just to figure out which of these bins the particular piece of data is on that you want. So for example, there's a gazillion feet on this one spool, and a computer, if the data that you want is right here, you'll send a request to a computer, and it will tell this machine to wind the whole tape until it gets to right there, and then it'll read the section of the tape that you want, and send it to more temporary storage, and then it will send you a message saying, we have retrieved the data that you want, and it could be minutes later. That's how this works. So you had whole controllers to figure out which one of these tape drives. This is a spool full of tapes. So there is this is a stack of cartridges. So maybe the thing that you wanted is on the third thing down, and it's right there. So the machine has to drop the whole stack down, pull the disc off that you want, or the reel that you want, and stick the reel on the reader, and then wind it to the right spot. And as long as it knows the address, so like 1269889, that's like the location on the tape, you would say, I want from this location to that location, please read that into RAM, volatile storage, and then I'll run a program on it. So that's what's going on here, and we'll finish up. He's going to ask the computer geeks how to break into Code Revision. Slow to you?
Biotoxic and chemical warfare. This didn't come from Protovision.
You bet it didn't. Ask them where it did come from, Jim. Go ahead, ask them.
I told you already.
Looks military to me. Definitely military. Probably classified, too.
Yeah, but if it's military, why does it have games like checkers and backgammon?
Maybe because those are games that teach basic strategy.
Jim, how do I get into that system? I want to play those games.
You're not supposed to see any of that stuff. That system probably contains new data encryption algorithm. You'll never get in there.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure. I bet you Jim could get in.
Yeah, I bet you could.
I bet you could.
Well, you'll never get in through the frontline security, but you might look for a back door.
I can't believe it, Jim. That girl standing over there listening and you're talking about our back door?
Mr. Potato Head, back doors are not secrets.
Yeah, but Jim, you're giving away all our best tricks.
They're not tricks.
What's back door?
Well, whenever I design a system, I always put in a simple password that only I know about. That way, whenever I want to get back in, I can bypass whatever security they've added on. That's basically what it is.
It's a good tip.
Okay, if you really want to get in, find out as much as you can about the guy who designed the system.
Come on, I don't even know the guy's name.
What are you guys dumb? You guys are so dumb. I got this thing all figured out. I figured it out all by myself.
Oh, yeah, Melvin? How would you do it?
The first game on the list. Go right through Falcon's Maze.
Okay,
Okay, so if you didn't finish that column, take a moment and wrap up that column. So what technologies did you see in 1983? Well, I'm queuing up 1993.
Can I have a
paper? Yeah, of course. What did you see on the display? Was it pixelated? Was it graphic? Was it text only? Etc. I'm now giving you a graph of.
Oh no, look! The bottom got chopped down.
That's not good. So we're going to be I want you to find the IMSA 8080. So jump on Wikipedia. IMSAI 8080. Find this particular device. But I'd like you to choose, you're going to be looking to choose a single model per year. Now we're all going to do this one because that's the one featured in the film. We're going to go to Jurassic Park. The computer, the actual name of the computer will not be obvious. What is this mixer? So you're going to have to choose, or you get the chance to choose a what I call an anchor or a benchmark model that was existing in that year. So for our 1983, we're all going to do the IMSAI 8080. That's the sample. You're going to want to find a description of the model somewhere on the interweb, and we'll make a spreadsheet with the correct links, but I want to do one together. So the graph I'm giving you is, we looked at this briefly last week. This is Moore's Law. Robert Moore was a computer scientist. He also co-founded what's the largest chip manufacturer on the planet? i7, i5, Pentium. Intel, yeah. So Robert Moore, the same person who identified this pattern, co-founded Intel. He's one of the richest people on the planet because of his discoveries. And he discovered, crunching the numbers, that the speed or the number of transistors that we could pack onto a car doubled approximately every 2 years since 1970. Doubled every 2 years since 1970. So let's look down in 83. So the IMSAI 8080 came with which processor? The Intel 8080. Is that on here? Yeah, Intel 8086, Intel 8080. So yeah, this was rated 7475. So maybe circle that way down here in the lower left. So this is one of our benchmark processors right here. Let's see if we can insert shape. So I'm going to box this. So the IMSAI 8080. So really our benchmark year, the film came out much later than the actual processor year. So this was more like a 74 benchmark. So I'm going to do no film and then outline red. I said no film. Okay, so there's our 8080. And then we could annotate that. Then we're going to jump into the 90s. Alright. I like this because the female programmer saves the game. I don't want to watch this whole thing. Okay. And of course, because this scene is so pivotal, you can look up and find the actual name of the software that she's using. Ellie, boot up the door locks. Are you ready for 1993? Yeah, just describe what you're seeing for starters. What's on the screen? What's it capable of doing?
Control room.
This is actually a program. Anyone know what the equivalent of this program is? What are they? What are these? Anyone know this is actually really clever? This is a graphical file browser. So this program actually existed. They didn't make this for Jurassic Park. This would take any old file system tree and turn it into this 3D rendered environment, which was very cutting edge at the time. This was really exciting to be able to do this. So this was a directory, and then all those little dots on top are the files inside the directory. And so it would automatically render your file system. So this was like the root of the file tree, like C drive, and then these are the subdirectories. So make some notes here and there on your right column. In 1993, we're seeing what kind of things with display. So computers capable of, you could say something like simple 3D graphics rendering. We're still working in the mainframe model, so the particular computer that Lex is on is less important. I'd like you to choose a PC, a personal computer, and not worry about the mainframe just yet. But remember that in both systems, in both films, we're dealing with a mainframe, so a single computer, and then separate terminals. Because the original hardware is so expensive, people are sharing time on the mainframe. And then one of those terminals is hooked up to the modem, which allows that to be connected through the phone network to, like, Lightman's house or someone else. Similarly, here in Jurassic Park, she was sitting at a terminal, and she's accessing the file system that's on a mainframe for the park. So this is the larger distributed system idea, where, well, not distributed system, but centralized computing idea rather than the personal computing idea, where each box has enough oomph in it. You don't need to send all your signals to the mainframe and wait for it to come back. Okay. What other observations did you see here? How's she controlling the computer? What didn't exist?
Mouse.
Yeah, mouse. So graphic user interface, including peripherals with mouse and pointer, which requires upgraded graphics capabilities. Remember, moving this pointer requires processing power. Everything requires processing power that's changing the pixels on the screen. So in 1975, the Intel 8080 didn't have enough processing power to be moving something around the screen just so you could click on it. You had to use the keyboard. So we want to describe some of these changes. We'll get a chance to dig more into this project, or we'll do two more films. We'll do the 90s, and we'll do the 2000s, and then a future on Wednesday. Okay. So, now that we've got two of our benchmark years, we want to generate some evolution data. So, let's imagine, I'm going to give you some time, the remainder of today, about a half hour, to choose your PC, your benchmark PC for 1993. So we're going to want a computer that's running one of the processors in this world, in this realm. So probably the Pentium. We defer the Pentium 1 is probably what they want for the 1990s. So we want to choose a computer model and manufacturer that had a Pentium in it. And if you jump onto our website, I gave you a structure for creating a spreadsheet with this data in it. So if you come down to 115 master sequence, and then this is our week, change in her name, click that, I want you to create your own way of organizing the data. So I gave you a sample spreadsheet here. And I'm going to come around and kind of see where you are with your spreadsheet skills and decide what we need to layer on. But if nothing else, I want you to work on setting up a spreadsheet like this. So notice how we're going to have our anchor years as columns. These can change, these can shift a bit. We want to approximately have 5 anchor years, one being in the future if we want. This is interstellar. So I did the listing together for 1983, and this needs to jump back to 1970. When was IMSA 80 released? What does Wikipedia say? You have it up? What's its official year? 75, release date. Okay, so film 83, but this needs to change to 75. And you'll notice the different rows. So we have our fun film, and then from that you choose a model. So your job is to choose your 1993 model. Try to come up with an anchor price, because ultimately what we want to be able to say is, how much did it cost per processing cycle? So at 2 megahertz, you could get a 2 megahertz processing machine for about $1,000. And so we'll want to actually set up the spreadsheet to do some calculations on that. And we'll learn a little bit about spreadsheets as we go. So what's the CPU? What's the RAM? Did it have built-in non-volatile storage? What do we know about its networking capabilities? And what do we know about its peripherals? And then any links that you find, we want to include in your spreadsheet so you can get back to it, so a future student can check your work. So if you find, I deliberately put in an image instead of the raw file so you could make your own. If you're a good detective, you could find the actual file in the server scene. I want you to try making this on your own and help each other. If you're not comfy with spreadsheets, let me know. Look up some tips. These computers have both Microsoft Excel and LibreOffice. I believe if you type in Libre, then it's a book. You should see that you have LibreOffice Calc if you want to use that. Either spreadsheet operation is fine. So give you some time to start composing this, and then we'll continue building the lens.
Questions?
Yeah.
What's the website
to get it at? That's technologyrediscovery.net. And then you'll put Team Master and then to do Master Sequence.
Mr. Son.